Thank you very much. We're going to look at that theme again tonight. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now, I like what Brother Spirit said over a month ago when I was with him at a different meeting. I mentioned it here a few weeks ago, but C.T. Spear mentioned that that verse says, I am, not I was once, but continuing. In other words, it's a continual present tense reality that I am to be crucified with Christ. That's why it says, I die daily. That we present our bodies a living sacrifice every day. And so I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. If we are indwelled by Christ, that's because we are saved. And when you're saved, you are a new creature. And a new creature because of a new birth. You've been born again. And you have a new nature. There's a new nature, and there's the old nature and the new nature. You still have that old nature. You still have that flesh. And until we die, we're going to have that flesh hanging around wanting to do its thing. But we have a new nature. We have a new nature born again, born from above. And so that new nature is in fight, in battle with the flesh, that old nature. So some of you were saved at age 70. So your old nature is 70 years old at that time. Your new nature is a baby. All right? So you probably have a lot of habits from the old nature, all right? And yet we have a new nature, and you can grow and mature and fight that old nature. So why? Because Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That means if he's in me, look with me back in 1 Corinthians, a few pages back, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and verse number 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? You are the temple of God. You are God's temple. That should be special. We should realize that God dwelling with us. Now understand, the Old Testament people and the people transitioning from the Old Testament into the New Testament, they always had the temple in front of them. They always had the temple visualized. I mean, when Jesus was on the earth, there was still a temple there. And in the temple, there was the holy place and the most holy place where the veil covered it, the veil. And behind that veil was the holy of holies where God dwelt. And only the high priest would go in. It was a very special place. It was a scary place. It was a fearsome place because it was the presence of God and the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant, and all of that. So imagine these Christians being told, you are the temple and God dwells in you, all right? God is in you. Christ liveth in you. And so the Bible says, ye are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. What an awesome thought, because I guarantee you they never thought of the temple in any way, shape, or form, but holy and special and righteous. They never used their cell phones in the temple. I may tell you that right now. I can say that for positive. They considered the temple very, very clean and holy. And they would sit up and take note that we would be called the temple of God ourselves. That's why in chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So he lives within us. Christ liveth in me. He indwells. If I'm saved, that's just a fact. My body belongs to him. It's his dwelling place. You know what that means? There's a new landlord. There's a new tenant. Go back to Romans chapter number 6, where we were this morning. Neither yield ye your members. Let's read verse 12. Romans 6:12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. You know why it's called a mortal body? Because that's exactly what it is. It's just a mortal body. You don't have a glorified body yet. Don't yield to that junk and obey the old body. And all of us have sin and sin habits and sin temptations in our old body. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We have a new landlord, and we are to yield whatever he wants to him. He lives and he owns. We're bought with a price. And so whatever he wants to do, whatever wall he wants to knock out, whatever color of the carpet he wants to have or paint the walls different or do whatever he wants, we have a new landlord. And we're to yield our members to him. That's why it says in chapter 12 to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to him. Look with me over in John chapter number 14. John 14. This is what Jesus told them before he left the earth. John 14 and verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The world doesn't have that. The world doesn't have this new landlord. That's why the world does what it does with their body. That's why the world acts the way they act, because they have the spirit of wickedness. They have just the fleshly nature running the show. Verse 26, though, says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. You don't have to be saved a long time for the Holy Spirit to remind you and to stop you and to say, hold on a second. We're not talking about a conscience. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, who's there to say, hold on a second, I don't like the way you're going. I don't like the direction you're headed with this, and I'm the landlord. Chapter 16, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Christ, through his Holy Spirit, is living and dwelling within you and me as a Christian, born again, saved. Has there ever been something that you just didn't feel, just something about this just isn't right? That's the Holy Spirit of God speaking to your heart. Something there, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. By the way, those who act like the Holy Spirit is doing all kinds of things in church today that isn't actually of the Holy Spirit, you know, and swinging from the chandeliers and doing all this crazy stuff that goes on. It might be a spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you why. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak of himself. The Holy Spirit brags about Jesus. The Holy Spirit does not brag about himself. The Holy Spirit doesn't show himself off. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will guide you into all truth. And also 1 John chapter 2, just being controlled by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, being controlled by him, being guided by him, being directed by him. I want more than anything for my children to just rely on the Holy Spirit of God. My children are getting older. They're threatening to move away and go somewhere else, and they're threatening to be interested in someone else besides me and their mother. It's very depressing. Someone should do something about it immediately. But you know what I really want? I just want them to listen to the Holy Spirit, to find out what is the landlord's will and do it. I say landlord, thinking of your body as land, and Lord being the Lord. And 1 John 2, verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. With the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God, you can find what God has for you to do. Christ liveth in me. I'm a new creature because I'm saved. I'm his temple, and he is my landlord. Look with me over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going all over the place, but this is more topical, and that's why. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now think about this. Nobody has seen what God's got in store for you. You think about some of the richest people in the world, and yet nobody has seen what God has in store, has prepared for them that love him. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 24, but the natural man, that's what I was talking about earlier. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The unsaved man, the natural man, cannot receive and cannot listen, and he does not have a landlord. He's his own landlord, or he thinks he is. The truth is, Satan's his landlord. And he thinks he's his own boss, and so he does things his own way, only to find out he's really been listening to the devil's ideas. The natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. This is a waste of time. And I hope my young, my children, I hope they believe that following Jesus is the right way. And that they know him. That they don't just say they know him, but they truly know him. And I trust that they do. And I trust that they're not going to follow the natural man. But when you do, first of all, I want to say it's an awful sign that you're probably not saved if you're not following the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Listen, there are people who have read the Bible cover to cover, and yet they are just as lost and confused and goofy as ever. I sat on the plane with a guy a while back, and he told me he read the Bible cover to cover. I don't think he read a good version, but he read a version of the Bible cover to cover. And then he went off, and I said, so what do you do? This is what he told me he did. Well, I go around the country and I try to film cops doing bad stuff. You know, I'm like, wow, what a life. I said, so what are you doing now? Well, I was up here in Rapid City a couple summers ago and I got arrested for disturbing the peace. I can't imagine why the cops would arrest the guy. So I live in Phoenix and I got to fly up here every once in a while and go to court. And I'm thinking, man, what a great life you have, you know. The natural man just does dumb things, okay? He's just foolish. And it's not just that. I mean, you know, there's people that just, they drink their life away. They play their life away. They foolishly waste their life. The natural man doesn't have that guy. He doesn't have that landlord. He's his own boss. He's not a slave like you Christians are. Well, you know what? I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked, because he's a good master. Verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. When you have the Holy Spirit of God, you can discern or judge all things and have a good common logical approach to that through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God. And this new landlord, this new governor, I drive a school bus. Some of these school buses have governors on them. And the governor will not allow you to go past 55 miles an hour. Mine's so old it wouldn't go 55 even if you tried. But this governor is there to keep you from going too fast. It's a governor. It's a limiter, all right? Now, the natural man doesn't have that. The natural man just goes crazy and goes all over the place. But the spiritual man has a governor. Let me tell you something. When I was a young man, the governor in my life kept me from getting into a whole lot of more junk than I could have got into. The governor, listen, years and years ago, a lady was telling me about her daughter's death here in Custer. She was telling me how that her daughter really wasn't a bad girl, but she just got into a car with some other guys and his other kids, and you might have heard this story. They went up, clear up all the way up to Pass Creek Road, and they were just dragging and driving fast and doing stupid stuff. And then they came back down past where Jim and Cassandra have their place, and they went around and they got around that sharp corner, and now there's these think signs on that corner. She said, my daughter's one of those think signs. They were daring the state trooper to chase him, and he did, and stupid. Just foolish. Just sad. The natural man doesn't have a governor to help him to think better. And sometimes the Holy Spirit has allowed me to do some things to a certain point, only to teach me a lesson. But there's some things where I know that He, in His ability and His grace, was able to govern and keep me from just wasting and ruining everything. I'm thankful for my landlord. I'm thankful that Christ dwelleth in me. And I want to learn. I want you to learn, if you're a young person, old person, whatever, I want you to learn to trust Him and to listen to Him. And don't argue with Him about the color of the carpet. Don't argue with Him about what He wants to do with this wall or remodel that, or what He wants to do in here, or what He wants to do in the house. But to listen to Him and let Him have His way. Why? I am crucified with Christ. My life, my choices are dead. I was headed to hell until He saved me. And it's up to Him. Whatever He wants, that's what He gets. He's the landlord. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. This is what Paul's saying to these Christians who struggle with their flesh. It says in verse number 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Notice Spirit is capital S. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Your flesh is going to fight your new landlord. If you're 70 years old, or you're 50 years old, and you get saved, you're 20 years old, and you get saved, your flesh is going to want to fight. Your flesh is going to say, "Well, that's not how we've been doing it." Your flesh is going to fight that and going to fight the landlord, and you got to understand, you got to just tell the flesh, "Hey, guess what? There's a new boss. There's a new landlord. And what he wants, he gets." And so the flesh and the spirit, they fight with each other. The flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. You know what? I found out this about my governor, my landlord. The more I follow Him, the less I got to worry about the law. Because He'll never lead me to something that's against the law, that's wrong. The natural man, you know what they talk like? Cups, rules, law. Okay? This is why God blessed men in our country 250 years ago, because they weren't just opposed to law for the wrong reason. They were fighting tyranny, but they were spirit-led men, I believe. Many of our patriots were. But today, the Tea Party is all about people who are mad at the laws, but they're not being led of the Spirit, if you don't understand the difference. But when you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. There's some crazy people out there. There's people out there that they don't like certain laws and certain things going on in our country. And I would agree with them that there's some stuff going on that shouldn't be. But that doesn't mean you pick up a gun and shoot an abortionist. Because now you just did something stupid. But see, the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me do that, because that would be wrong. And all the different examples you can think of. But when you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Because you don't have to worry about that. You are limited by someone else instead. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. You know, some people, the only reason why they don't commit adultery is because they know they might get caught or it might cost them. But when you're spirit-led, that's not your reason, is it? Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The flesh does not go to heaven, and flesh without salvation cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit," this is what the new governor can do, "the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." There's just no law against those things. Temperance. I think about people who used to be drunks and they get saved and God has tempered them. People who could not control their temper and now are meek, of a meek spirit. Patient, long-suffering, gentle, love. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You see, when you have this new landlord and this new governor, because Christ is dwelling in you, there's a new fruitfulness. You bear fruit. The old fruit was that first list, the adultery and all the idolatry and all that, and the envyings. That's the old fruit. The new fruit is what we read last, the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. When you have Christ dwelling in you, and he has overtaken your temple, and you are in his control, and it is not your life because you are crucified with Christ, and the life you're now living is his life, you'll become productive, fruitful. People will be getting saved as a result of you living, Christ living in you. Look with me over in John chapter 15. It was just a week ago that several hands were raised at the nursing home as I had the opportunity to preach the gospel to several people. John chapter 15 and verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. I love the relationship that we have with Christ. It's him and me and me and him. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. There's just new fruitfulness that comes from letting Christ dwell in you richly. And let the word of God dwell in you richly. There's new fruitfulness that abounds when we allow Christ and we recognize I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. That's why fasting is good for our flesh, because it tells our flesh you're not in charge anymore. That's why there's just things that we ought to give up. And it might not be that someone else needs to give them up necessarily, but we have to say, no, I can't do that. I'm crucified with Christ. And let Christ dwell in you richly. And then, that, of course, that leads to new desires. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I wonder if you set your affection on things above. I was talking with someone today. We were talking about anniversaries. They were talking about how, I can't believe those people have been married 52 years. What? How old were they when they got married? 3? I said, I'm almost halfway there. I'm almost to the 25th. To be honest with you, I don't want to get to 50. I want to go home. I already got pinched nerve and, you know, stuff in my body that's aching. You say, Pastor, that's kind of fatalistic. Look, I'm not saying it the wrong way. I'm just saying my affections are, I got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. That's all I'm saying. I don't mind. You know, if I'm absent from the body, I'm going to be present with the Lord. You think that bothers me? Look, I'm looking forward to going to heaven. Doesn't mean I'm suicidal. I'm just looking for, my affections are on things above, not on things on the earth. I got new desires. I got new affections. Why? Because I'm dead. Oh, I like stuff down here, but it's all temporary. It's all so vain and temporary. So here today, gone tomorrow. 1 John 2, verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Look, if Christ dwelleth in you, your love for the world should be less and less and less. It's to the point where, he's lived inside of you for so long and he's dwelled in the home, and pretty soon you realize it's better now than it was before. And I used to argue with him about stuff before, but now I just realize whatever he wants, it's going to work out better. And I have new desires, which then leads to going to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. If Christ is living in you, and you have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts, and now the life that you're living is Christ living in you, then you will become willing to sacrifice for others. Because that's what he does. That's what he did. Matthew 20, verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. At some point, a Christian matures to the point where instead of just getting ministered to, and we all need that, but instead of just getting ministered to, we minister. Instead of just being served, we serve. Some people, their whole life, they just show up and get served, and they leave a tip. But other people, they mature to the point where they say, I want to show up and serve, not just be served, not just the be served. He came not to minister, to be ministered unto, but to minister. And not only did he minister, he got on his hands and knees and washed the disciples' feet the night before he was crucified. But not only did he minister them to them that night, including some of the ones that were going to betray him, curse him, but then the next day, he died for them and gave himself a ransom for many, willing to sacrifice for others. That's why the Bible says, I beseech you to present your body a living sacrifice. It's reasonable service because he did it. And when Christ lives in you, you'll become willing to sacrifice. The Bible says in Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, took upon him the form of a servant. And then lastly, if Christ is living in you, Romans 8, if Christ is living in you, verse 36 and 37, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, even in being counted as sheep for the slaughter, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. If Christ liveth in you, you will become a conqueror. You will win, like we were saying this morning. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are not wrestling just flesh and blood. We're wrestling a spiritual warfare. And the Bible tells us in 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Some people are all worried about... I don't like to watch a lot of news or talk show only because I really think that part of the gimmick is to keep everybody tuned in for next time. Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. Okay? Christ lives in you. So what is there? Look up at the verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Yeah, we ought to see what's coming, Pastor. There's some really bad stuff coming. God's on my side. I'm on God's side. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm more than conqueror through him. I can't lose. That's what we were saying this morning. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You can't lose when Christ dwells in you and lives in you. You are a conqueror. But what if we're killed and counted as sheep for the slaughter? Doesn't matter. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. If you give your life to God and God allows you to die physically to die as a result of giving yourself to God. It wasn't a waste. Don't know exactly what the plan is, but it's not a waste. If you allow God to have your life and you allow him to have everything and he takes your wealth and completely spends it, and the world says you're a loser. No, you're not. More than conquerors. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There's nobody out there that's bigger than your God. There's nobody out there. Don't you love that? Years and years ago, when I was living in Gillette, my friend Derek was just a big, strong, strapping guy, super athletic. You know, we had a basketball team in our Christian school, and Derek was, I mean, he was over 6 foot, and he was big, strong, muscular guy, you know, and the rest of us, we were just puny seventh and eighth graders. I mean, Ethan would have been bigger than me back then, probably. I mean, we were just puny little, scrawny little runts, and so we were playing basketball. We went down to Casper, and we played Lighthouse Baptist Church in Casper. We played their basketball team, and we had one main game strategy, one main offensive strategy. Get the ball, throw it to Derek. Get the ball, throw it to Derek. If you accidentally get the ball, throw it to Derek. You know? And we lost 64-54. Derek had 52 points. I had 2 points. I couldn't find Derek, so I threw it up and it hit the backboard and went in. 54 points, and he had 52. I mean, he was just an athletic guy. He's still a big guy. He lives in Casper now. But he was in Gillette. And so I remember walking down the street in Gillette with Derek, feeling, I'm with Derek, you know. I'm cool because he's cool. I told you all that to tell you this. I'm with Jesus. You know, I'm not cool. But he lives in me. He lives in my house. I'm something because of who lives in me. I'm more than conquerors through him that loved us. I am a conqueror because he dwells at my address. In Philippians chapter 2 and Philippians chapter 4, the last place I want to go, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." If you're saved, no one has to beg you to do God's will. You want to. Because God works it in you to first desire it and to do his good pleasure. And chapter 4, verse 13 says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." It doesn't mean you can do whatever you want, but whatever he's given you to do, you can get it done through Christ, which strengtheneth you. There are times when, boy, it's just real nervous and it's real scary. What's going to happen? How are we going to do this? And God makes it happen. And you go back and you look at those Old Testament stories of, you know, the crossing of the Red Sea. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? God made it happen. And people having someone that was dead brought back to life. God made it happen. Just trust. He'll take care of it. God will make it happen. I can do all things. If it's what he wants done, he'll get it done, won't he? We can trust him. Just let him dwell in you and trust him. And we are more than conquerors for doing so. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now you think about that. If he's given his life for you, what else would he not give for you? If he's given his life for you, what else would he not allow you to have and use? He's got all the resources in the world. Trust him and lean on him and let him be the landlord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the reminders all through the New Testament. Paul said it differently, but basically he just said the same thing. I'm dead and Christ is my life. I am crucified and it's his life now. I die daily. I'm a living sacrifice. Lord, help us to stop trying to be the landlord. Help us to just learn that you are a way better landlord than we could ever be. Help us to just recognize the victory that we can have by just trusting you and letting you run the show, letting you guide the path, letting you call the shots, letting you dictate what the finish line is, what the goal is, what tomorrow is supposed to be, what next year is supposed to be like, what you want us to do, and that we'll do it. Not my will, but thine be done. And help us to live as Christians who have Christ obviously living in us. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite anyone that wants to come over to our home tonight. We'll be headed over there in a little bit.